Children are also programmed to be fundamentally loyal to their caregivers, even if they are abused by them. Terror increases the need for attachment, even if the source of comfort is also the source of terror. I have never met a child below the age of 10 who was tortured at home and who had broken bones and burned skin to show for it, who, if given the option, would not have chosen to stay with his or her family rather than being placed in a foster home. Of course, clinging to one's abuser is not exclusive to childhood. Hostages have put up bail for their captors, expressed a wish to marry them, or had sexual relations with them. Victims of domestic violence often cover up for their abusers. Judges often tell me how humiliated they feel when they try to protect victims of domestic violence by issuing restraining orders, only to find out that many of them secretly allow their partners to return. It took Marilyn a long time before she was ready to talk about her abuse. She was not ready to violate her loyalty to her family. Deep inside, she felt that she needed them to protect her against her fears. The price of this loyalty is unbearable feelings of loneliness, despair, and the inevitable rage of helplessness. Rage that has nowhere to go is redirected against the self in the form of depression, self-hatred, and self-destructive actions. One of my patients told me, "It's like hating your home, your kitchen, and pots and pans, your bed, your chairs, your table, your rugs. Nothing feels safe, least of all your own body." Learning to trust is a major challenge. One of my other patients, a schoolteacher whose grandfather raped her repeatedly before she was 6, sent me the following email. "I started mulling the danger of opening up with you in traffic on the way home after our therapy appointment, and then, as I merged into Route 124, I realized that I had broken the rule of not getting attached to you and to my students. During our next meeting, she told me that she had been raped by her lab instructor in college. I asked her whether she had sought help and made a complaint against him. 'I couldn't make myself cross the road to the clinic,' she replied. 'I was desperate for help, but as I stood there, I felt very deeply that I would only be hurt even more, and that might well have been true. Of course, I had to hide what had happened from my parents and from everyone else. I told her that I was concerned about what was going on with her.' She wrote me another email. 'I'm trying to remind myself that I didn't do anything to deserve such treatment. I don't think I have ever had anyone look at me like that and say they were worried about me, and I am holding on to it like a treasure. The idea that I am worth being worried about by someone I respect and who does understand how deeply I am struggling now.